Welcome to the Progressing Recruiters Lives Everywhere podcast, brought to you by Amoria Bond. Join us as we talk to our board members and leaders to gain valuable tips, advice, and inspiration for your own professional life. From climbing the career ladder to the evolution of the recruitment industry, we'll cover it all. Within our industry, there are no limits to how far you can progress, and we want to show you how and why working in recruitment could be the best decision for your life and career. My name is Jenny Walsh, and I'm the Regional Talent Attraction Manager at Amoria Bond. And today I'm excited to be chatting with Keely O'Day, who is the Director of Operations at our Singapore office. Welcome, Keely. Great to have you here.
Thanks very much, Jen. Excited to be here.
Fantastic. So I guess, could you get us started, Keely, by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you started in recruitment?
Absolutely. So I've been in the staffing industry for 15 and a half years now. And like most people, really stumbled upon the industry. I just got back from traveling the world for a year. I was feeling a bit lost. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. I studied criminology and sociology at university. And I was thinking perhaps I should, you know, put that to use. But essentially, I was absolutely broke and I needed, you know, fairly quickly. So just as I was finishing my travels, I put my CV online. And straight away got a call from a company called Huxley. They're an S3 brand. And basically started with them 2 weeks later. So it was a really quick process. And little did I know, you know, I was embarking on a 15-year journey with them.
Amazing.
So, and really over my time in the industry, I've had various roles. So I started off very much in customer services. My job was to make sure that contractors that we were onboarding had a fantastic experience, an onboarding experience with us, and that they were set up to have everything that they needed, you know, throughout their placement journey. And that gave me a good introduction, I suppose, to more of the back office processes. But quite quickly, I progressed into more of a commercial role, focusing on kind of contract book management. And that really developed my understanding of the contract market. And I think married together with, you know, my previous role, I was able to really understand. I was in that unique position of starting to really understand that whole end-to-end user journey. And I could see how actions upstream could really was impacting, you know, those downstream and just join those dots up. And at the peak of that role, I mean, I had a huge responsibility. I had about £100,000 weekly GP under my responsibility.
Oh, wow.
So it was huge, you know, huge for the group. So, yeah, I mean, and again, very passionate about customer service. With the volume of contractors that I was supporting, I really took it upon myself to understand all of the different aspects of the business. You know, when someone asked me a question, I wanted to know there and then, you know, how to respond and answer that.
Yeah.
And I think through that, my knowledge of the business, you know, just increased, you know, and I started stepping into a lot more of the more central kind of projects. And with that, you know, my visibility with senior stakeholders increased. And one day, you know, I got a call for a meeting and was asked, you know, how would I feel about relocating to Singapore and stepping into the world of operations? And at the time, I think the region was growing, you know, quite extensively. We had offices in Singapore, Australia and Hong Kong. Japan was about to launch. And still a lot of the core functions supporting that business were sitting in the UK. And anyone who's based, you know, in APAC just knows that that just doesn't work. You know, it's fine as a short term, but certainly, you know, you've got to lay or set up that infrastructure regionally to support, you know, a scaling business out there. So, yeah, I packed my bags and went with a 2-year plan. And here I am. 11 years later. So, I mean, and over my decade in the region, I had, again, you know, varying roles. My remit expanded. I took on over time more functional responsibility. And eventually I was responsible for that whole, the service delivery, really, of the whole order to cash journey. So from onboarding all the way through to cash collection. And I also extended my remit to the Middle East. And my last couple of years with S3, again, I found myself working in more of the central programs of work, you know, the pieces of work we were calling, you know, transformation readiness, getting the business ready to embark on its transformation journey. And I absolutely loved that work. And for someone who had been with the business for such a long time, it was, you know, the things that got us really excited. That, you know, I was working late into the evening and, you know, I've got two little girls. It probably wasn't the most sustainable, to be honest. And I started to think, right, well, what's next? You know, I had an incredible journey with S3. I'd been with them for 15 years. But I started to feel I needed a new challenge and to really start pushing myself to learn more. And right at that moment, Amoria Group reached out and started having some discussions. Obviously, got really excited about the opportunity. I loved what, you know, the direction, the strategy, the ambitions of the organization. And I could see a lot of opportunities where bringing my knowledge and experience, I could really impact the organization. And that's what I'm all about, always striving for improvement and progression. So yeah, that's what got me here to the Amoria Group.
Amazing. And it's really great to hear, I guess, how varied your journey has been as well, because I guess a lot of people who maybe don't know about the industry probably think of it as like the sales functions, but there's so much more to it in terms of the different roles that you can do within recruitment and consulting as well. So yeah, thanks for sharing that, Keely. I guess on that kind of level, I guess, could you tell us what a typical day looks like at the moment for you as the Director of Operations at Amoria Group?
Absolutely. So I think as the title suggests, you know, my remit's so varied. I cover from onboarding and compliance, pay and bill, credit control and office management and all things in between. And no 2 days are the same in the world of operations. And that's, you know, that's what I love about it. I'd say my role is really divided into two parts. So you've got your BAU, so making sure the service delivery, you know, of those really core KPIs is where it needs to be. So that's looking at, you know, onboarding, our speed to onboard, where are we sitting with our compliance, contractor payments, billing, you know, cash coming in essentially. I also like to start the week by checking in with my team. You know, we love a huddle, you know, coming together for me, understanding what's hot, what's not, where's my support needed, you know, and yeah, having a good view for the week and what we're going to get through. And then the other part of my role is continuous improvement. You know, I've got a real, so I say CI, continuous improvement mindset. So, you know, and I think like any other operations director would say the same, you know, we're always looking for progression, how we can improve, how do we drive, you know, efficiency gains and become more, yeah, efficient and effective. And that's really what I've spent my first 10 months with the business doing. It's looking for those opportunities. So really getting under the hood, speaking to the people, understanding what those challenges are and going, right, you know, obviously we're going to strive for the small change, big difference stuff and keep chipping away at that. But ultimately, you know, building out what that APAC operations strategy looks like, because, you know, what's absolutely critical is that we've got those strong foundations from that operational perspective that will allow the business to grow.
Yeah, amazing. And next, I guess we often hear from people in sales roles, including on this podcast, but as someone who oversees a wider scope of the business, you must see, you know, other success stories. So can you share any examples of great successes or progression and any advice in achieving similar things for those who are just starting out in their career?
Yeah, look, this is a great question because, you know, as you've pointed out, we hear a lot within this industry. Get it, you know, it's a sales environment. We hear a lot about successful sales stories, progression. And, you know, and I've worked on a sales floor for, you know, 15 and a half years, right? I'm surrounded by it. But, you know, you don't just have to be within sales to have a successful career within this industry. And, you know, so if you look at Amoria Group, you know, we've got a clear progression path called 10 steps to the top. you know, great. But what I love is that we've got the same for group services. You know, we've got the same career paths, you know, mapped out. So it doesn't matter what role you do for the business, there's always progression opportunities, no matter what role that you're in. For me, and a big kind of key part of my strategy is focused on people, you know, so it's making sure there's regular reviews with our people to understand their successes, their challenges, where are they against their career aspirations, but most importantly, you know, their personal development plans, and making sure, you know, we're aligning those to their goals, and that they get the right support needed to achieve them. You know, you would hear, we talk a lot about profess. So profess is our core value system, and it really is at the heart of our business, you know, and we've got regular awards in place to recognize people who are demonstrating those values. And we do those on both a global and a regional level with some really great, you know, things up for grabs for winning that award. So I've seen several of my team win those awards, you know, and enjoy great, you know, lunch clubs. And, you know, I know there's spots on our incentive trips and things like that. And the same applies for best service. Again, something we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, forefront of what we do. And again, we've got the right awards in place to make sure that is being showcased, right? And we're showcasing the great work that people are doing, really putting best service at the forefront of what they do. And I think as a leader, you know, when I see people hit their goals and their performance objectives and win these awards, that's what it's all about, you know. Yeah. That's the most rewarding, you know, to witness their growth and progression. And I've seen, you know, people who join my team, you know, as, you know, a graduate, and, you know, go all the way up to all of a sudden managing a regional payroll for a region, you know. And I've had someone join me and, you know, again, progress all the way up to leadership. So these opportunities are available, right? You know, it doesn't matter what role you're in at all. It's not just sales. It's for everyone. So my advice to anyone starting out is opportunities will come to those who put themselves out there and work really hard. It doesn't matter what role you're in. And I think thinking back to my own progression, you know, where I've got to where I am today, it's about pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone and making yourself visible, so that when an opportunity does come along, so obviously with S3 saying, right, we need someone in Singapore, I was there, I was at that forefront in terms of that consideration.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I'd say in terms of advice is just put yourself out there, work hard, and these opportunities will absolutely come. And another great tip is one of my takeaways from our management conference in Milan. Obviously, we were incredibly lucky to have a brilliant keynote speaker, so the ex-Olympian Michelle Griffiths Robinson. And yeah, something that she said really stuck with me. And it's, if you don't give something a try, you just don't know what doors it's going to open, you know. And again, when I reflect on that and what that means to me, I think that is something that's got me to where I am today. So be curious, give things a try. And when it's something outside of your comfort zone, that's even better, because by pushing yourself, that's growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. And so you're based in Singapore, as you mentioned earlier, you've been there for some time now. What would you say are the key differences between the APAC business and the European business?
Gosh, well, I've been in Singapore for so long now that honestly, I don't know any different. You know, it's been over a decade. But, you know, one of the things I would say is, you know, Singapore is a regional hub, you know, and it gives you exposure to the rest of, you know, Southeast Asia. And I think when you compare to Europe or, you know, the UK, you know, working with clients and customers here can be fairly domesticated, you know, and I think coming out to Singapore, I've had the opportunities to actually understand a lot more in terms of, you know, different countries and, you know, talk about, you know, how do we compliantly, you know, place in a lot of these other territories and run the payroll and things like that. So it's really varied and interesting. You know, that keeps things interesting. And, you know, I love nothing more when the business comes and says, oh, we've got this opportunity here. How do we make this work? You know, and together we map that out and we come up with a solution. And it's also incredibly diverse, you know, it's multi-ethnic, multilingual, multicultural society. In our office of 24 people, we have 7 different nationalities. And I think that's just amazing. You know, we did a lunch, you know, cultural lunch, and bring your lunch, your favourite dish, you know, from your home country in for a lunch and share with colleagues. And it was quite incredible, you know, to see all the different, you know, different foods and stuff that came in. So that's what I'd say about Singapore. It's, you know, from a diverse, very diverse cultural perspective, it's honestly one of the best places in the world.
Amazing. And what advice would you give to someone, I guess, from our European or UK offices if they wanted to make the move to Singapore?
Honestly, I would say go for it. You know, and going back to what I said earlier, if you don't give something a try, you just don't know what doors it's going to open. Yeah. And moving to Singapore has created so many opportunities for not just me, but my family. And we have a great quality of life. I'm a mum to 2 little girls, and Singapore provides a very safe environment, you know, excellent schooling. My eldest daughter is in a bilingual program at school, so she's learning Mandarin. And I'm just so proud to be able to give her that opportunity. You know, and that's one of my main drivers. That's my why. And of course, we've got Southeast Asia on our doorstep. You know, it's the gateway to Southeast Asia. Endless travel opportunities and an average, you know, temperature of 30 degrees.
So jealous, honestly.
So, you know, if that's not a sell, what is? And look, I think packing your bags, it was different for me over a decade ago. You know, I didn't have a family, but I know other families now that do move. There's so much kind of support and resources available to you. So if anyone listening fancies, you know, a move, I'm more than happy. Drop me a line and I'm more than happy to help or point you into the right direction.
Brilliant. And lastly, we kind of touched on this before about obviously having a really diverse office and culture. Equity, diversity and inclusion is obviously an increasingly important part of every business. What would you say the key goals are to achieve an inclusive workplace, and what should young professionals just starting their careers be looking out for in a business?
Look, again, a great question. It's a really important topic, isn't it? And for me, it's so important to work for an organisation that aligns with your values, but a company that also puts their words into action. And, you know, so many companies out there say the right things and will post the right things on social media, then they don't act. So again, only with the business for 10 months, but I've been so impressed with the work done by Amoria Group in this space. You know, we've just been celebrating that we've just hit a 52% male and 48% female split of employees across our group, you know, and the industry average is 41% female. So again, you know, we're above and beyond that. And yes, I know it's been quite a journey to get there. And there's still some work to do, but it's progression and it's great progress, isn't it? And we're moving in the right direction. And I think if you look at our new hires over the last 12 months, who are still with the business, 52% of those were female. And again, if we continue, you know, on that upward trend, then we'll soon be at an equal split between, you know, genders. And the other thing that I think is key is that, you know, we have several committees, you know, so we have, you know, DE&I committee. And, you know, so if you're someone who's really passionate about this space, you know, you can be part of a team or a committee that helps move the company forward. So again, a great opportunity to make a difference.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for sharing all of that with us, Keely. That brings this episode to a close. So thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks very much, Jenny.
And I'm sure everyone who listened today gained some really valuable insights. And for more information about career and recruitment, check out our website, amoriabond.com.